Graphic Audio presents Rogue Angel by Alex Archer. Rogue Angel number 5, Forbidden City. Narrated by Nanette Savard. With performances by Colleen Delaney, Terrence Aselford, Richard Rowan, David Coyne, Ken Jackson, James Lewis, Thomas Penny, M.B. Van Dorn, Jeff Baker, Michael Replogle, Dylan Lynch, Kate Torrey, Michael Glenn, and Mort Shelby.
Do you do this often, Miss Creed?
Ticking her eyes from the thick expanse of the El Dorado National Forest ahead of her, Anya Creed smiled over at her hiking companion.
Not often. Generally only when someone has piqued my curiosity.
And have I done that?
You have.
I'm glad you were interested.
Let's just hope we get lucky.
Anya had only known the man for a handful of hours. They'd met briefly in nearby Georgetown, California, to arrange for the hiking trip. Before that, their correspondence had consisted of only 3 short weeks of conversation online. Genealogy wasn't Anya's field of study, so when Huang Fu Cao had first approached her about trying to find the final resting place of his ancestor, she had decided to turn the man down. As a result of the cable network show she co-hosted, she often received requests to help strangers track down family legends. Though it was an interesting story, the death of Wang Fu's ancestor was too recent to warrant her attention. Anya changed her mind when Wang Fu sent descriptions of that ancestor's prized possessions. One of them in particular had piqued her interest enough to draw her to California on a cold day in March to go traipsing down old roads that had once led to gold mining towns long gone bust. Wang Fu Cao looked like he was in his early 30s, but Anya didn't bother to guess. She was wrong more often than not. He was about her height, 5'10", with a thin, angular build. He wore a polyfill jacket against the wind and dark sunglasses to offset the bright afternoon sunlight. Anya wore a North Carolina Tar Heels cap over her chestnut-colored hair and blue-tinted aviator sunglasses. Her aluminum-frame backpack carried numerous supplies, as well as her notebook computer. Anya scanned the forest before her, barely able to make out the old mining trail they were currently following. A century and a half earlier, wagons had carved deep ruts in the land and left scars that would last generations.
You seem to be in very good shape.
I have to be in good shape in my profession.
Wang Fu was in good shape as well. Anya knew that because the pace she'd set had been an aggressive one. The man hadn't complained once or fallen behind. Anya didn't mention that her physical fitness was especially important when someone was trying to kill her, and this was a position that she had found herself in far too often since she'd found the last piece of Joan of Arc's sword in France. Before that, before Rue and Garin had entered her life, Anya had never once considered the possibility that she might ever have been connected to Joan of Arc. The sword, or maybe it was Anya herself these days, seemed to draw trouble like a magnet.
I didn't think television people actually needed to exercise. Only that they look so.
Well, television isn't exactly my profession.
Even though Anya had been hosting spots on Chasing History's Monsters for a while now, she still felt embarrassed. But doing the show allowed her to go more places than she would have been able to on her own as an archaeologist or university professor. Television shows tended to be better funded than the universities. Unfortunately, the recognition she had gained as a result of the show was a double-edged sword. Many people tended to think of her as a television personality first and an archaeologist second. Anya never thought of herself that way.
Do not worry. It wasn't the television personality I asked to help me. It was the archaeologist.
Thank you.
Stopping, Anya took out a GPS device from her coat pocket and checked their location. Getting their coordinates, she replaced the location device, and they began moving again.
Do you get many offers to do something like this?
To go looking for someone's ancestors? I do get a number of offers.
Do you answer them all?
No, I wouldn't have time.
Then what was it about my offer that interested you?
The family heirloom you're looking for. That interested me.
Because it is... how do you say?
Scythian.
Yes. You said the Scythians were a nomadic people.
They were. In all probability, they were Iranian. But they were known by different names. The Assyrians knew them as the Ashkuzai. The Greek historian Herodotus of Halicarnassus described them as a tribe called the Cimmerioi, also known as Cimmerians. Some people think Robert E. Howard borrowed the Cimmerian culture for his hero, Conan the Barbarian.
I do not know any of those names. My ancestors were Chinese.
Evidently, Huang Fu was, if not prejudicial, somewhat race-conscious. Anya was aware that a number of Asian cultures looked down on each other.
The Scythian people traded with the Chinese beginning in the 8th century at the latest, probably even before that. All I was suggesting was that the design you found in your ancestors' journals might be older than you think it is.
Ah, I see. You think helping me find my ancestor might give you more information about the Scythian people?
I hope so. It would be a coup if I do. I didn't mean to sound insensitive.
Nonsense. I'm here for a man I've never met. If it weren't for my grandfather, I might not be here at all. Are these people you hope to discover more about important?
There is a lot we don't know about the Scythians. We know they traded with China, Greece, Eastern Europe, Pakistan, and Kazakhstan. Probably other nations as well. But there's a wealth of history that archaeologists, historians, and linguists are missing.
The grade of the trail went down for a while and became a minefield of broken rock and low brush. Anya took another GPS reading, then corrected their course.
What do you hope to find?
The same thing that you do. Some proof that your ancestor was here.
He is here. I intend to bring his bones home, if I am able, and see him properly laid to rest. It is my grandfather's wish to gather all of our family that we may find.
Anya was steering them towards a small stream that ran along the fringe of the El Dorado National Forest. According to her map, they weren't far from Otter Creek. Paymaster Mine Road was supposed to be only a short distance ahead. Tall pines mixed with assorted fir trees, all of them combining to fill the air with strong scents. Sunlight painted narrow slits on the snow-covered ground, but squirrels and birds were out to meet the early spring's challenge, foraging for food in the trees. Scanning through the brush, Anya spotted the trail she thought they wanted. Shoving through low-hanging branches, the trail rose again with the land. Everything is uphill out here, she thought. The park rangers Anya had spoken with in Georgetown had assured her the path she planned to trace was an arduous one. If they had any sort of trouble, they were a long way from help. The muddy land was sloughing away under the melting snow. Days of rainfall had turned the ground soft in places.
Are we close?
I believe so. Another mile or so should put us there.
The ghost town of Volcanoville was one of the hundreds of towns and mining camps that had sprung up in California after James W. Marshall, an employee of John Sutter's lumber mill, discovered gold flecks in the tail race in January of 1848. By the end of that year, word had spread, and hundreds of thousands of people from around the world had flocked to the most recent state in the Union in hopes of striking it rich. The mining camps and towns had risen up almost overnight, then died in the same quick fashion when the gold ran out or was never found. Hell-roaring diggings, Whiskey Flat, Loafers Hollow, and others had left behind a colorful history. Murder, betrayal, success, and failure were all part of the tapestry. Separating the true stories from legend was a nearly impossible task. Huang Fu gazed at the ramshackle buildings that stood under a thick canopy of trees. Many of the trees showed signs of repeated lightning strikes. Broken limbs, shattered trunks, and places bare of bark were scattered around the site. Anya couldn't help but think that this was not exactly a place to inspire hope. She glanced at a dejected Huang Fu.
It's not as bad as it looks.
That's good, because at the moment it looks impossible.
If we were just going by the journal you found, maybe it would be. Fortunately, we have other sources of information. The California Historical Society has collected stories, journals, and newspapers.
I trust your expertise in this matter. That's why I hoped you would help me.
Anya slid out of her backpack and placed it beside the nearest building. No trace of paint remained on the weathered boards. It was possible the exterior of the building had never been painted. Working quickly, she paced off the dimensions of the buildings, which were mostly constructed in the same way. She guessed that the building she was searching for would be among the ones that stood before her now. When she finished, she returned to her backpack. Crouching with her back against the building, she took a bound journal and two energy bars from her supplies. She silently offered one of them to Huang Fu, and the man took the snack, crouching down beside her. He pointed at the book.
What's that?
A journal I made for the search we're going to conduct here.
The journal contained hand-drawn maps Anya had created from topographical surveys she'd found of the Volcanoville area, as well as ones she'd found in newspapers and letters collected in the historical societies she'd visited. Tabs separated sections on known facts, rumors, and stories she'd gleaned from her research. Anya began flipping through the pages.
You have maps?
I made them, based on geological surveys of the area, combined with stories I found. The location of the forest and the stream are accurate. The map of the town is purely guesswork.
I thought you'd arrived in Georgetown only this morning.
I did. The internet is a wonderful thing.
You do this for all of your projects?
When I can. I like to have an idea of what I'm getting into before I arrive. Usually, time at dig sites is limited. You have to know what you're looking for and where to look for it. Not all nations welcome archaeologists with open arms. In the early 20th century, a number of archaeologists served as spies for the Western world.
Ha! Have you ever been a spy, Miss Creed?
No.
Would you be one if you were asked?
I guess it would depend on the circumstances. But that's not what I'm about. I'm an archaeologist, first and foremost.
Anya looked around at the buildings, trying to see through the present into the past that had existed over 100 years ago. Huang Fu drank water from his canteen and sat silently. From the man's relaxed posture, Anya believed he could have stayed that way for hours. She hadn't yet gotten a fix on him, and that left her feeling a little unsettled. When she'd first connected with Huang Fu over the internet and then by phone, Anya had guessed he was a low-level corporate worker. But from the money involved in his quest, and his generous offer to arrange her flights and accommodations, she'd figured he was near the top tier. A background check on him had confirmed that Huang Fu Cao worked for Gai Enterprises, a Shanghai-based international pharmaceutical company. Bart McGilly, the New York homicide detective who was one of Anya's closest friends, and who had done the background check on Huang Fu, had wanted to dig deeper. But Bart tended to be overly protective where Anya was concerned, and she hadn't wanted to wait any longer. Huang Fu had volunteered to pay her expenses, and he'd said he only had the next few days to attempt to locate his ancestors' remains. She'd assumed he'd taken time off to attend to the matter. Anya was all too aware that her own free time was often gone before she knew it. She'd already turned down a Chasing History's Monsters assignment to track down the legend of a vampire living in Cleveland. Vampires were perennial ratings winners on the television show, and her producer, Doug Morrell, had a special interest in them that she hadn't quite figured out. Given her options, she'd jumped at the free trip to California. Anya found the few remaining landmarks she'd identified from the stories and the geographical maps. Now oriented, she grabbed the straps of her backpack, hoisting it to one shoulder.
Let's go.
Do you know where the building we're looking for is located?
I think so. Chinatown was up on that ridge line up ahead. Mining towns were usually segregated by race. Chinese immigrants poured into California in the 1850s and 1860s.
For the promise of gold, I know.
Not just for the promise of gold. They were also escaping the Taiping Rebellion that occurred after the British defeated the Chinese in the Opium Wars to force British trade.
I'll take your word for that, Miss Creed.
Anya was surprised that Huang Fu wouldn't know that. The Taiping Rebellion had been a major event in Chinese and British history. Reaching the summit of the rise, Anya looked down, orienting herself again. She tried to imagine what the town had been like when it had been booming with the promise of gold. Anya felt the history almost come alive around her. She relished opportunities to go places and see them for herself. She'd never been to an abandoned mining town before. Even though it was only 150 years old, not centuries or a millennia, as many of the locations in her studies were, the history of the place touched her more than she thought it would. She had no choice now, however, but to get down to business and set her focus on the man she'd come there to find. She turned to face Wang Fu.
Your ancestor, Ban Zexu, arrived in San Francisco in 1872. I confirmed your research with my own. Most of the gold rush was over by 1855, but occasional strikes occurred for some time. Some of them took place here in Volcanoville. He lived up here in Chinatown, overlooking the main part of town. The Chinese immigrants weren't allowed to mix with the white population.
But the shopkeepers took their gold for things they needed.
Indeed, all of these towns were violent. Too many men were looking for too little gold, which had gotten harder and harder to find. In 1874, Chinese miners found a 10-ounce nugget at the Cooley Mine. Drunken miners locked over a dozen Chinese in the cabin at the mine and burned it to the ground with them inside. The men who escaped the fire were gunned down.
Was that where my ancestor was murdered?
No. Ban Zexu was killed here. A few of the buildings in Volcanoville proper had root cellars where they kept potatoes and other perishable goods, but very few of the structures in the Chinese part of town did. According to my research, your ancestor died two houses down from one of the Chinese-built structures that had a rock-walled cellar. If we can find that cellar, then we'll find the house where Ban Zexu died.
Dropping her backpack to one side, Anya reached in and removed an army surplus trenching tool that snapped together and a metal rod with a handle. She pulled on a pair of leather work gloves. She thrust the metal into the thick loam and began searching for stone. She could only hope that the root cellar had truly been made of stone and wasn't too deep to reach with the tools she was using. It took less than an hour to find the root cellar. Stepping off the measurements of the house, Anya had quickly located the approximate area where the building had once stood. She had stripped off her fleece-lined coat, finding it too hot to work in. Wang Fu discarded his jacket as well. Despite his exertions, he didn't look any worse for wear. One of his shirt sleeves had crept up while he was digging, revealing the red, yellow, and blue ink of a large tattoo. It had scales, so Anya guessed that it was a dragon or a fish. Self-consciously, he pulled his sleeve back down when he spotted Anya looking at it. She acted as if she hadn't seen the tattoo, but immediately dark suspicions formed in her thoughts. She suddenly didn't feel as comfortable and confident as she had.
How deep do you think?
A foot or two, at least. This far into the forest, foliage and dead trees are going to decay and add to the humus layer. If you leave anything on the ground long enough, nature has a tendency to pull it deep and cover it over.
In 1875, little less than a year after the murder of the Cooley mine workers, Ban Zexu and his small group of miners had been burned out as well, though the details of the story varied. There was even a story that Ban Zexu and his friends were robbed after striking it rich, though no gold had ever turned up. Locked inside the building they'd lived in while working different claims, the Chinese miners had had no chance when the building was torched. As Anya worked, she tried not to think about that horrible death, or about the tattoo she'd seen on Wang Fu's arm. She still wasn't sure what that meant, only that Wang Fu was more than he seemed, and that waiting for Bart to conduct a deeper background check might have been a good idea. Late into the day, and almost 3 feet down, the light was fading fast, and Anya's certainty about her calculations was ebbing away as the dirt piled higher and higher. Her heart leapt as her shovel struck burned wood. She saw the black coals stark against the lighter-colored dirt.
Wang Fu, we've found it. We must go more slowly now.
I would like to finish tonight.
If it's possible, we will. But hurrying and ruining everything we might find isn't the answer.
You are right.
Anya showed him how, slowly scooping up the earth and spreading it out across the hill she'd created. Wang Fu observed for a moment, and then they both continued digging.